Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth drama.
All right, welcome to Smooth Drama with your host, Dick Hugger, a.k.a. F the N-Word, and I'm joined by my illustrious co-host, Miss 100%. And tonight, we have special guests of the hit web series, The Adventures of Super Seventh Spy, Olivia Dunkley and Jerry Kokich. So, if y'all want to holler at us and you want to find out about this great web series, hit us up 646-929-2037. Once again, the call-in number 646-929-2037. We gonna get our spy on tonight. Also, we encourage you to go to our website, smoothdrama.com. You can check us out, find out about us, check out the videos we got up. Me and 100, we are quite opinionated and have a few videos up we think y'all may enjoy. We social network. You can Twitter me. I'm Smooth Drama. Follow me. I'll follow you back. Facebook, my yearbook tagged. I'm Dick Hugger. Add me. I'll add you back. We can hang out. But I know y'all ain't really trying to holler at me no way. You really want to get at my illustrious co-host. So, illustrious co-host, tell them where they can find you at.
All right, I have a new website, www.notthebottomout.com. And I'll just... Miss 100% spelled out on Facebook, Miss 100% spelled out at yahoo.com, or you can hit me up on Twitter at 100%.
Yeah, because wherever you find Miss 100%, you will find joy in gayness. Yeah, I'm just trying to get all my gay in now because of that Don't Say Gay bill passed the House Education Subcommittee the other day, where legislation will limit all sexually related instruction to natural human reproduction science in kindergarten through eighth grade. So it supposedly won't prohibit the use of the word gay. It just, your teachers can't say it. Even though, as we know, we're very gay. We're gay every time we come on the air.
Right. I am just overly gay.
Yes. I'll say for good 70-80% of my life, I've been gay.
I've been gay all my life, really.
I've had some non-gay moments.
Yeah, I can't say yeah. That's,
yeah, so.
I've been on a, you know, I kind of been on a down low, you know. But.
Let's see. Depending on what gay you're talking about. You have these people who when we say gay, they don't understand the original intent of the word was gay as in happy.
Happy.
And so I can't say gay because it no longer means happy. Sort of like the N-word. N-word used to be a bad word. Now it's supposedly a good word. And so now gay, which used to be a good word, is not a bad word.
Right.
I'm like, can we flip them?
So educators can't say it.
Nope.
Okay, but the rest of us, we can say it anytime we want.
Pretty much, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And so, you know, gay.
And this is in Tennessee?
It's Tennessee.
Oh, okay.
That's where it is.
Oh.
Yeah. Because they're very non-gay down there.
Well, yeah, because I was going to say, you know what, just creating this world full of bitch assness. Because here we go again with this, don't say this, don't say that. It's going to hurt their feelings. I'm like, come on with the feelings bullshit, man. Really? Every time you turn around, somebody got a feeling about them.
Well, you could be, speaking of feelings, be like the British builder who left a concrete model penises outside the man's house. He was fined for anti-gay abuse. I don't exactly know what anti-gay abuse is.
I don't think that's anti-gay, though, because a guy that got a bunch of dicks laying around where he can go plant them on somebody else's lawn, to me, he gay. Of a homosexual. I mean, a guy that likes dick is normally a homosexual, right?
See, well, what happened is, I guess they got into a man, Michael Parks, he got into an argument with a man, Richard Ives, because Ives wanted to bring his laundry in before they started working outside the house. And I guess Parks was like, no, and called him a queer. And so when Ives went inside and then left the house to pick up his partner, when he got back, there was a piece of a board outside with a drawing of a penis and a homophobic slur written on it. And then there are also two models of penises that had been made out of cement placed on his wall.
Dude got too much. First of all, he fat. Second, he got too much time on his hands. I mean, in that amount of time he created. To get it out.
Yeah, I mean, you make concrete. I'm like, really?
He had the mugs sitting around waiting like, how and when?
I mean, yeah. you like, you know, kind of stroking it out.
He just had them in his inventory somewhere. Where, I mean, come on, for real?
Yeah, I mean, that's great craftsmanship. I mean, where you can make the concrete into a penis. He's talented.
Yeah, so like he has a lot of experience, you know, stroking the.
I myself would have, you know, I'm getting paid by the hour. I'm not taking my free time off to make anything for somebody that I supposedly don't like.
Yeah, that was kind of crazy.
Yeah, I mean, but I guess that's the theme of this segment. Kind of crazy. Like the man who in Philadelphia walked into, Pennsylvania. He walked into Walmart. Well, before he walked into Walmart, he stripped off his clothes in the parking lot. Then he went inside. And mind you, this is a 6'4", 300-pound man who's walking around naked in Walmart, and he stole some socks. And it took the police to stun him a couple times to get him down.
I'm not stunning a butt naked black dude.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. I'm not getting near his crazy ass.
I'm stuck on the what is it about Walmart that makes folks go crazy?
Ass people.
It's just something about Walt make people want to do crazy stuff like that. I mean, because he stripped off his clothes in the parking lot.
To go to Walmart and get a pair of socks.
Yeah, I mean.
Thought they would see how crazy he was and just be like, let him go, bruh.
I mean, because one, you know he's crazy because he stripped off his clothes in the parking lot. And then he walked in butt naked, like, nobody will see me stealing these socks.
Oh, he a black dude.
Well, not just that.
But dude, come on now.
But he's 6'4", 300 pounds. I don't care what color he was. He was going to stand out.
Listen, a black dude stealing anything nowadays is already half crazy. Because you ain't going to get half a block before they get your ass.
I don't think that he was trying to hide. I mean, when you walk into a store naked, I'm thinking common sense probably left out the door a long time ago.
Oh, my goodness.
And he was naked, and he stole some socks.
He could see, like, the two guards, like, get it. Hey, dude, you get it. Fuck that, man. You get it.
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously, it's got to be the stun gun, because we not wrestling.
Hey, you know how Walmart cops like to dabble.
No.
Dabbling on his ass.
Well, no, because remember, if you're a security guard, you can't attack a customer, or you will get fired. You know, how many times have we seen that?
That's right. That's right.
If you attack somebody, hey, you gonna get fired. So the security guard's like, hey, I'm chilling in the office. I ain't going out there. I mean, that's what I'd have done. I've been watching it on camera. Like, get him, officer. Get him. When can I erase the tape? Anyway, now on the opposite of, and I don't know if this would count as crazy, there was a couple who in Oregon on Valentine's Day who they were role playing where they allegedly tied up the girlfriend and threw her in the back of his Subaru in the afternoon. Unfortunately, they didn't get to play all the way because one of the neighbors saw what was going down. I mean, obviously, you see a woman tied up, butt naked, in the back of a car, you probably assuming the worst, like it's some kidnapping or something along them lines.
Right.
Yeah.
To me, sounds like a good example of, you know, our segment that when right reality should be fantasy.
Right, exactly.
They was fantasizing. They just shouldn't play this shit out because it went horribly wrong.
Yeah, I mean, you're in public. I mean, tie her up inside the house. I mean, he's lucky he didn't get shot.
Right.
You know, you think about it, when the police are responding to, there's a woman naked and she tied up in the back of a car, he rolls out there, they shoot him like, hey, you the kidnapper. So his ass got very, very lucky. You know, that's definitely a case where reality should have been fantasy.
I mean, the person that reported it had to have good sense. Because, you know, just imagine had they walked away and it being real. And they would have been like,
yeah, you kind of have to call that. I mean, I don't know anybody who's looking out their window and you see a guy throwing a naked woman in the back seat of a car. You're thinking, oh, man, they getting down today. They really kinky. I mean, you thinking, oh, wow, it's her stalker, and he's taking her on Valentine's Day. I mean, that's what I would have thought.
A little too far. They just, oh, my goodness.
Yeah, that was not a good idea. So, Nicholas and Stephanie, stay inside. They were arrested and charged with disorderly conduct, but they were released that same day. So I guess they got to finish out their role playing, hopefully.
Right. They should have finished up in the backseat of the police car like the one couple, remember? The girl that was on camera giving her guy head while they was in the back of the police car?
Yeah.
That opened and finished.
That never comes off. It's never a good idea. But I guess they was trying to catch feelings. On that note, we gonna go on break here. This is Radio Galaxy off their album We Come in Peace. Oh, I can't even talk. We Come in Peace. This is Field Trip.
You know, it's hard sometimes articulating what you want to say. And all that ever comes to mind, the fact that I feel some kind of way when indecision prevails and anticipation rules the day. Control freakism fails. Gotta give yourself permission to take failed trips.
With Big Hugger and Miss 100%. That was Radio Galaxy Field Trip. And tonight's guest, let's get them on the phone, the Adventures of Super 7 Spy, Olivia Dunkley and Jerry Cotton. Okay. Did I say it right?
Yeah, you did.
Okay.
Hi, it's Jerry.
Hey, Jerry, welcome to Smooth Drama. How you doing?
I'm fine. How are you doing?
Doing fine. We're in the middle of getting you and Olivia on here.
Fantastic.
So how's it going with you?
Ah, I hear a ring.
Yeah. I definitely
Hello?
Hey, welcome to Smooth Drama.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
We're doing good. Got you and Jerry on. And,
hey, Olivia, nice. How you doing?
Good. How are you, Jerry?
I'm good. I miss you.
I know. I miss you, too.
All right. Well, I want to know, you know, what drew you guys to Super 7 Spy?
Well, what drew me to Super 7 was Jerry. it was Jerry's, by invitation. We had worked together before, and he kind of invited me to participate. I didn't really know what I was getting into.
I think if she had known, she might not have gotten into it.
Oh, that is not true. I would have leaped both feet in. I mean, I haven't enjoyed a project more than this one, but I really didn't have any idea.
Well,
that it was going to be this good.
As a fan of the show, I can say that you guys, both of y'all, are awesome in the show. And I mean, the way y'all come across, your chemistry is seamless.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
So,
we work together well.
Yeah, we work together well, but it's very funny. Olivia will have a nice little thing to tell you about because. You know, I started working with Scott first, and when we were looking for a character, I recommended Olivia. And we had worked together at Universal many years before, but in one of the interviews that we did on the DVD, Olivia revealed a few things about her memory of me that I did not know. So perhaps you should take that.
No, I shouldn't take that. I just, when we worked together before at Universal, Jerry and I did not know each other well, and he's a very
she didn't know
nice.
Me well.
I didn't. Yeah.
Well, I heard, I saw the video, I saw the interview where I think Jerry, you remembered her just a tad bit more than she remembered you.
Yes. Well, I mean, you've seen her. It's hard to forget her.
Right.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. No, Jerry is also hard to forget, but I did not latch on to him immediately. I have completely latched on to him now. I just absolutely love and adore Jerry. There's no question.
Well, I love you too.
That goes to my next question as far as latching on. Now, we know in the Super 7 mythos, you guys were once together. And it seems like y'all are kind of getting chummy there toward the end of the season. You want to talk about where we get some tidbits, where you kind of going with that?
Well, you know, we've determined that Super 7 and Sandra West were married, and she divorced me.
No, that is not what happened. What happened was I shot him once because he kicked me off. And he took it so personally, and so he left me. And Sandra, she still kind of can't figure out what the problem was. You know, like, he's alive, so what's the problem?
Yeah,
but,
I have a problem with people shooting me just randomly. But that might be something we explore in a flashback.
No, she is still trying to, like reconcile with him. I think she's more like trying to reconcile with him. She's like, hey, you know, like, what was the problem? And you know you can't resist me. So, you know, like, let's just stop pouting and let's go. Like, that's kind of how I think she is about it.
Now, I do. We got a little love triangle going also. What about Sparky? You know, Sparky's dreaming about killing you. Every episode, it seems like.
Yes, she is. Sparky, isn't she wonderful? Anne is just an amazing actress and a great character. And, yeah, she and I love to work together because we love that little competition that we have going on where she hates me and she's completely beneath my notice. You know, Sandra just is like, honey,
deal with the hired help very well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's very fun.
All right, so.
But of course, Sandra's gonna win, right? Isn't that how that works?
I don't think I'm gonna get into that one.
Yeah, I was gonna say, let's hope.
Well, I know there's one thing before we go further. It's something that you're very comfortable saying, and I want to hear Jerry say it. Jerry, say Thunder
yes.
Pussy for me, please.
That's you know about that whole story though. Okay, so when Scott first put this character out, it was in the script that I say, you know, the whole name, and me, the actor. I was uncomfortable saying that on screen, so, you know, I started not saying it in rehearsal, and then it just sort of went from there, and Super 7 doesn't say it.
Well, you know, I can understand it, because I don't, you know, my name is F the N-word, so I don't say
yes.
The N-word, so I get it. I was just trying to see if I can get you to say it.
Say it on your show.
I think we have to leave that for like a season 5 finale thing, you know,
right.
Like maybe, you know, Thunder P is falling off a cliff and I'm reaching to help her. And there's one of those like, no moments. So.
Okay. Well,
and if you know, I was just going to say, if you know Jerry and if you know Super 7, you know, they're both such gentlemen. You know, you'll notice that Super 7's always pulling down skirts, and he's just so appropriate. So I just think that was very a very appropriate character choice. So
I mean, that's why he's my hero. I was like, if I do that and just pull down skirts, I mean, and I got two hot. Well, I won't call you a sidekick. You know, I'm like,
Don't call me
a sidekick.
Last person who did that got shot.
That's right.
Shot. So now, what can we look forward to in season two? Can we get some tidbits?
Well, there's a story there. You know, for season one, we did 16 episodes.
Right.
And there are a lot of web series out there that have said, oh, you know, we've had our first season, and people will ask, well, how many episodes have you done? And they'll say, like, 4 or 6. So Scott has decided that season two won't exist. Season three will consist of one episode, and then we'll go right into season four.
Season I didn't know that.
Season two is going to be the fabled lost episodes.
That's hilarious. Although he did tell me that he already has the next episode in mind. He already knows what he's planning for the next episode. So
yes.
And he has told me what it is, but we're not going
to
review.
It's going to be an homage to a classic 1960s, a specific homage, because the entire series is an homage to you know, the great Euro spy films of the 1960s and Mexican wrestling films and all that stuff. But the season three opening episode is going to be a specific homage to a particular very well-known British spy series, and that's all I'm going to tell you.
I know for me personally, I've watched the James Bond movie. You got the greatest villains in cast going. I mean, you got Olivia Sandra West. I mean, so as far as a hot ex-wife.
Come on, I'm not always the villain. Sometimes I'm good and sometimes I'm bad. It just depends on who's paying the most at the time.
I know.
Depends on the day.
It just depends on the day.
You do your role. I watch it and you're the tamest, most sexiest show that I've ever.
Oh, thank you. Thank
she
you.
Really is
She's super fun to play.
Oh, yeah, and you're channeling Diana Rigg from The Avengers. I mean, you have that wonderful, playful sexiness, which is just, it's very unusual nowadays. And, you know, we stroke her like this on the set all the time.
Go on.
You're so pretty.
Yes. Really, she's by far one of the funnest characters. I mean, I couldn't have created a sassier, sexier, more kick-butt female. I mean, she's just really fun to play. So,
and I was going to say that because in doing your show, I know it allows you that freedom to be an expressive. I mean, because you get to run the whole gamut. You get to be a badass, and you get to be funny at the same time. And that goes for both of your characters. I mean, the humor that goes along with what y'all do and how y'all work it is. It makes it highly enjoyable.
Thank you. Yeah, it's super fun.
Yeah, we have way too much fun on the set. And, I mean, you can see that in the blooper reels. You know, we crack each other up all the time.
Yeah, we have.
Now, I wanted to ask you, Jerry, you did ballet for 8 years?
Yes, I was actually, I danced for 18, 8 of which I spent with the Joffrey Ballet in New York.
Okay, and so as far as your ballet background, and I know you the fight choreographing, which one you say you would enjoy more?
That's a tough one. You know, ballet was something I devoted my life to, and it's very strenuous. It's like being a professional athlete. So there are certain things I miss about it. You know, various and sundry injuries and, you know, the physical demands of it, I don't miss. I miss being able to do some of the things I used to be able to do. But, you know, I've been lucky enough to have fun in so many different parts of my life. You know, I had great fun as a dancer. I had, you know, I'm having great fun choreographing fights and being a costumed hero. I mean, somebody up there likes me because I get to do all these fun things.
Yeah, I mean, because I was going to say, you get to wear tights.
Yeah, I still get to wear tights. And when I run into people
who are dancing,
and
he loves it. He loves to wear the tights. He wears it like we're shooting out, you know, on the street, and he'll just hang out in it. Like, all day, it kills me. He loves it. He loves it.
I actually get into the costume in my apartment and drive to the set.
He does. He loves it. It kills me. Oh, it's so funny to me.
I can't argue with you. I mean, I wish I had a smooth costume. I would wear it out in public also.
Well, we got to get you on the show at some point, you know,
hey,
if at the very least to get killed by Sandra West.
That's what I'm
for
saying.
For sure.
I want Sandra to kill me.
I will be happy to oblige.
So
I have no problem with that.
We'll get you on as a villain, and she'll be happy to kill you.
Yep, I'm good at it.
Yeah, I think you're leading in the body count, even though I
did
blow up a rocket installation.
I am. No, that doesn't count. Bombs don't count. That's cheating.
No, we have to do the personal murders.
Yes.
I understand.
It lacks the personal touch.
He likes the personal touch.
Yeah, okay, personal touch.
That's right. There's always a little extra Sandra personal touch, you know.
Well, speaking of personal touch, Olivia, I know you got a couple of movies that you've done, Crossroad, Allegiance. You want to talk about that in how you got involved in, you know, as far as Super 7 and your movie career? I've asked you that question. I know you say you love Super 7, but do you like being on the big screen also?
I love to be on the big screen. I have actually seen myself on the big screen, and I was like, oh, I love that. Crossroads, I'm super excited about. It's actually still in post-production, but it was it's a feature film, really well produced by Spot On Media. It's a very powerful film with kind of a Christian life struggle kind of theme. It's a very interesting script, so I'm super excited about that one, and was very happy to be able to participate in that. And probably one of the best things I ever did, I created a little short called That's My Purse Bitch. Can I say that on your radio show?
It's live. You just did.
I know. Sorry. That's the title of the film. Anyway, that's the film, and it's one that I kind of came up with and created, and that was the first film where I was doing stunt fighting, and we did falls and flips, and it was two women fighting over a purse in a store, and so it was a comedy. And that actually, I think, is what convinced Scott to cast me in this role, is that he watched me in that and he was like, yeah, I think she can carry it. So that's been a really good opportunity for me. So yeah, some of the things that I've gotten to do have brought me here. So it's been a good trip.
I mean, because you guys' fight scenes are incredible.
Thank you. Michelle and I'm sure you're talking, because Michelle Gonzalez, I'm sure you've seen, she's
Yes.
She plays Thunder Pussy, and she is just an amazing gymnast and, you know, stunt performer, and she and I work so well together. We have such a good time just beating each other up. We have so much fun, so it's great.
Yeah, I mean, she has the greatest villain name of all time.
Oh, and she'll be back.
Yes, she does.
I'm saying that, you know, James Bond had Octopussy.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, that's part of where the name came from.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, I mean, Thunder Pussy, the movie.
Well, you know, it has a future, yes.
Yeah, 2012, at the end of the world.
Yep.
You saved the world from Octopussy. I mean, pussy.
Thunder Pussy.
Yes, my bad.
Yeah, I just, my thing was like, I hope she can live up to that name. That's quite a, quite a name there to live
oh,
up
if anybody
to.
Can, she can. I mean,
Michelle,
she really
yeah,
is,
for sure.
She's a superhero. I mean, she
yes.
can do. She's one of those multi-talented people. I don't know if you know this much about her, but not only does she fight and do acrobatics, and she sings. She is an opera singer with a gorgeous voice. She speaks
mm-hmm.
something like 5 languages. She is a concert violinist.
Mm-hmm.
She's just one of those people that, you know, she's so friggin' multi-talented, it's scary.
Yeah,
yeah, she's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, because I was big shout out to your producer Scott. He sent me the DVD, and I got a chance to go through the whole DVD and check out everything that you guys did and how hard you worked. I mean, I for a web series, yeah, as far as web series go, I mean, you guys are like the Academy Award winners.
Aww.
Oh, thank you so much.
Yes, thank you.
One of the things that we tried to do was we tried to do as much with as little as we could. You know, we didn't want to just have, you know, a talking head series. We've, you know, had fight sequences and sword fighting and set people on fire and lives flown through the air off an air ram, and we've had people fall off high towers. It's, you know, we want to show people that we can do, you know, all this stuff with, you know, very
and
little.
We've been very supported by the community, the stunt community. Like, you know, Scott is from a stunt background, and
right.
he just has such good connections, and people have just been really supportive and, you know, excited to be a part of the series, which has been really nice. So,
yeah,
we even had an Academy Award-winning stunt coordinator work with us. And in one of the episodes in Trapezoid Conundrum, where I'm being interviewed,
mm-hmm.
this man who won an Academy Award also won an Emmy, and you can see the Emmy just over my shoulder in one of the shots.
Mm-hmm.
Well, me?
I hadn't realized that.
Could be
well,
in your future.
Yep.
That would be nice.
That would be nice. That would be awesome.
Yeah, we're in the running for a web series award on Indie
right.
Intertube.
Right.
We made it through the first round and we're now to the second round. The voting has unfortunately stopped, but we will know March 11th if we are one of the top 10 series. And we will find out, you know, when we have won on March 11th, because I am certain we have.
Oh, I hope you're right. I like the way you're thinking.
Yeah, I mean,
and of course, we'll win something else, like, you know, best actress and best director and best writer and all those kind of things.
Yeah, I mean, I would love to see you guys in a regular series, HBO, Showtime, whatnot, so that you
wouldn't
can,
that be awesome?
From your lips to God's ears, honey. Us too. That'd be awesome.
Well, I see it as possible in the future. I mean, as far as web series go, and just things that I've seen on TV, you guys by far have one of the more original ideas, and it just comes off well. Your chemistry
oh,
is,
thank you
is
so much.
Amazing.
So, oh, thank you.
If we have more fans like you, you know, we're the sky's the limit.
We do have really good fans, though. I have to say, I've been surprised. The fans are awesome. You know, they write you fan mail and they make really great comments. I mean, it's just been really fun to have people enjoy what it is that you're creating. So it's really fun.
We're enjoyed pretty much worldwide. On YouTube, there is a map that highlights where you are most watched all over
right.
the world. We are, you know, we're big in the United States. We're big in Russia. We're big in Germany, England, and Argentina, of all places.
Hey. I didn't even know that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. If you got off the plane in England, Liv, you'd probably be recognized or arrested, one or two.
Probably arrested before recognized, but that's, you know.
Yeah,
that's
be like, oh,
thing.
My God, that's Sandra West.
You're more recognized than arrested. I want to thank you for coming on the show. And before you go, tell the people where they can catch this awesome web series.
Well, you can find us on YouTube. Search The Adventures of Super 7. We also have our website, super7spy.com, and that's SUPER, the number 7, EVENSPY.com. You can also find the DVD for the first series on eBay, as well as our website. I sound like a commercial.
Yeah. That was awesome. Yeah, good job, Jerry. That was perfect.
And you order before midnight tonight.
That was perfect.
$19.99, you get two for the price of that.
Something like that, yeah.
All you have to do is pay the additional shipping, and we'll send you...
Sandra? No.
Yes. No, we don't send you Sandra. She costs way more than $19.99. You can't afford me, just in case you're wondering.
All right, well, I want to thank you guys for coming on the show, and I know the next time I come down there in that way in WonderCon, I gotta beg to hang out with y'all. If I could just catch a shooting, I don't care, whatever. I just sit in the back and...
Well, listen, if you wander onto the set, Scott will look at you and go, okay, come over here, stand here, she'll shoot you, fall down, and you'll be in the
set. Yeah, we'd love to have you. Don't worry. It's a very flexible set.
I can fall down, and I can do my kung fu death.
Nice.
You're
hired.
Our show.
All right, well, thank you guys for coming on, and
I definitely
look forward to season two and having you guys back on again.
Well,
thanks
thank
so
you.
Much.
We appreciate it.
All right. Good night.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. That was Jerry Kokich and Olivia Dunkley, the two main stars. Well, two of the stars from the hit web series, The Adventures of Super7Spy.com. Check it out. It's awesome. And on that note, we're going to go on break here. This would be world premiere. HISD, Juices and Berry.
mind in the time of the war, so with guns, identity, my tongue is full again, and me, I'm coming in a prom.
Together you got to smooth drummer.
Welcome back to Smooth Drama. That was HISD, Juices and Berries, world premiere. Song is hot, and they got a tad bit more coming. I feel like this next album off the chain from what I've heard, but we'll be letting you listen in on it as we go on through the rest of the year. Since this is our last year on Earth, so if we're going to go out, we might as well go out slamming and jamming, right? Anyway, unfortunately, we have lost my illustrious co-host, Miss 100%. She had to bow out. She was not feeling well, so she will not be with us. But we, of course, wish Miss 100% the best of health and hope that she gets better. And in the meanwhile, we're going to still do what we do. I'm going to do what we do and talk about things that just don't make sense, like the Canadian government, which is being accused of muzzling its scientists because the major science heads in Canada want one voice to be spoken when it comes to environment and scientific findings. Because I guess for them, they don't want, and I will quote Prime Minister Stephen Harper, who has said it to be keen to keep control of the message, I think to ensure that the government won't be embarrassed by scientific findings of its scientists that run counter to sound environmental stewardship. Meaning, when we talk out of our ass, we don't want the scientists to tell y'all the truth. We want to be able to tell you the lie and want you to believe it. And these scientists telling you the truth is counterproductive as far as lying to the people goes. That's pretty much what I got out of that. Yeah, we don't want scientists telling y'all the truth. So, scientists, you can't talk. Only the politicians who know nothing about science can talk. And the actual scientists who know things about science can't say a word. Now, does that make sense to anybody? Or am I the only one tripping off of that? Politicians won't talk about science. So they tell the scientists, hey, you can't say nothing. Censorship, common sense. I mean, this is a common sense thing here. When it comes to scientific data, I would not listen to a politician who's probably snorting cocaine, hanging out with hookers, and taking pictures of his junk and sending it to people, which is what politicians tend to be caught doing year after year. But yet in Canada, where they're supposed to be progressive, they have muzzled the scientists so that these guys, who are the paragons of scientific knowledge, get to speak whatever they want to speak to the world. I think that's kind of funny, hypocritical, and quite frankly, insane. But hey, who am I but a guy who's just trying to make sense out of things that should make sense, but oddly they don't. Sort of like Seattle. The leaders of Seattle in King County unveiled an investor's proposal to build a $500 million NBA and NHL arena in Seattle that will be financed mostly by an investment group with no, and this is the key word, no new public taxes. You know, now, Mayor Mike McGinn said, "This proposal we received is worthy of serious consideration." You know, because I guess the investment group led by some guy named Hansen, Christopher Hansen, who's a San Francisco hedge fund manager, the $500 would be paid mostly by the investment group, but it would include $200 million in city and county financing that would be repaid over the next 30 years through rent on the arena and tax revenue it generates, including property, sales, and admissions taxes. Now, excuse me if I'm not following this. $200 million is going to come from the city and county financing. And last time I checked, anything that's financed through the city and the county would constitute taxpayers paying for it. So right off the bat, taxpayers are paying $200 million to finance this. And it's supposed to be paid back through whatever bullshit means. I mean, sounds like a Ponzi scheme to me. Yeah, we're going to get you your money over 30 years through property sales and admissions taxes. Meaning, the same people who are financing it as they're admitted into the arena for tickets that they bought for arena that they paid for will actually pay the taxes twice. If I'm not mistaken, admissions taxes, meaning if I'm being admitted to the game, the ticket, I'm paying for that. Property around the area, sales taxes, I'm guessing for those the sales taxes will go for those beers that were paid for, the pretzels, hot dogs, hamburgers. You get the picture. I don't know about anybody else, but they say $500 million. We know that's the rough guesstimate. It'll probably end up $700-800 million. Something along those lines. And the taxpayers, $200 million will end up being $400 million, something along those lines. And, of course, you'll get the money back. But as far as the city getting it back and the taxpayers getting it back, when these arenas are financed and the city and the county are supposedly getting their money back, that never constitutes the taxpayers getting a check. Never, ever, 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 never, ever, ever has that constituted in the taxpayers getting that refund check back to, you know, help them for their part in paying for the arena. But I guess maybe I'm the only person that sees that. I mean, conversely, we have a guy who, Peter Kantorowski, who wants to kick his 98-year-old mother out of a house. He wants to evict his 98-year-old mother so that he can sell the house and, I guess, have a chance to help finance an arena in the Connecticut area. Now I'm just playing, but it goes to show you the lack of depth in how people think. You have a guy who would kick his own mother out of the house so he can get some money, and at the same time, we have arenas being built. Once again, the hard times that we have, but we have money to build arenas for billionaires. You finance money for billionaires so that they can improve the neighborhood, improve the community, whatnot, through games that you, the consumer, will pay for but not benefit in financially. And at the same time, you have a mentality where people will care more about sports than they would about citizens, real people who don't have deep pockets, that trickle-down economics never trickles down to. 98-year-old woman being told to move into a nursing home or live with her son so that he can sell and get some money. I don't know. Maybe I'm not understanding. I'm tripping. But it seems like priorities and intelligence is on call. Finances. We have a culture where we finance billionaires' play toys and kick 98-year-old mothers out of their home for profit. Doesn't make sense to me, but who the hell am I? On that note, I want to thank Miss Olivia Dunkley and Mr. Jerry Kokich for coming on the show. I want to thank you all for listening. I'm Dick Hugger, a.k.a. F the N-word. Your smooth drama. And we'll catch you on the flip side. Peace.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth drama. Smooth.